This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But please hold your calls here at 464-8295. And that's 464-8295. And we'll be glad to talk to you, but please hold your calls for a few minutes because we have with us David Babe. Hi, Dave, from Cutting Edge Ministries. How are you doing, David?
I'm fine, Stan, and you?
Just great, thank you. And of course, we were going to talk about a couple of things. You were mentioning that a couple of Marines died from the results of the vaccinia infections, the so-called smallpox vaccination.
Right. On the 15th of December, a San Diego-based newspaper was reporting that a Marine recruit had developed a rash on his ankle after the inoculation, and he was dead in 24 hours.
Well, now, of course, we know that's the smallpox, because I think this is being the Marine recruit who came from the Salinas area, and the government wouldn't tell him why he died.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And then another Marine, a short time later, had been swimming, and he came out of the pool, and he dropped dead. And
but
so,
of course, do we know that they actually got the vaccination? That's the thing.
I do believe they got the vaccination. They were part of the group of the 5,000 Marines that were initially vaccinated on Friday the 13th was the first day that they started the vaccinations.
So that's definitely that we know that they were among that 5,000 Marines. I mean, were they vaccinating all the Marines that day, or what's the background?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what the 5,000. I think the first 5,000 were young recruits that got it, and how they rolled it out beyond that, I do not know, but. Within 2 days after they had gotten the vaccination, they were, two of them were dead. And then it was interesting that suddenly various ailments began to be reported. I mean, within days of the beginning of this vaccination, Streptococcus A laid 100 Marine recruits down. We've got flu symptoms, pandemic evidently in Kuwait and in the USS Roosevelt had about 300 men down.
But I know, but did they get the vaccine? That's the question.
I don't know. I have not been able to verify that.
Well, of course.
But I know that these two Marines were pretty tightly tied into the vaccine.
Well, the interesting thing is, David, why are they interested in vaccinating, our military for a disease which they've been telling us for 30 years doesn't exist? Well, so for 30 years, they've told us the disease doesn't exist. Now they tell us there's a terrible threat, and they've got to start vaccinating all the military and all the first responders. It's somebody had given
500,000 men. Right. 500,000 military men and emergency responders are supposed to get vaccinated.
And, of course, so much of this is illogical. Why are they vaccinating our military for anthrax?
It's smallpox.
I'm talking about anthrax.
Oh, okay. Anthrax.
Because certainly the vaccine is not 100% effective for every strain of anthrax. In fact, there are only a couple of strains it's completely effective for. We know that when they actually vaccinated 10 monkeys, and this story comes from the book written by one of the reporters from the New York Times, and she tells how they vaccinated actually 60 monkeys, but 10 they vaccinated first of all And then they exposed them to pulmonary anthrax, and 8 of the 10 monkeys died. Now, that isn't a very, very good record.
No, it's not.
So why are they vaccinating all of our men unless they know exactly the strain that is going to be used? And of course, for the strain that's going to be used, if they know exactly the strain, why it would be quite effective. So they must know the strain that's going to be used. How could they know the strain that's going to be used? Well, unless they were planning on using it themselves. The only reason you'd actually vaccinate your troops for anthrax if you were going to use it. And where would they use it? They're not going to use it over in Iraq, certainly. Well, where are they planning on using it?
The New World Order plans talk about vaccination a lot, and they talk about it as a way, as a depopulation method. Once the world, begins its final push into the New World Order. So that's in the back of my mind, this, population, or depopulation plan. But you talk about illogical. I'd like to throw a little more illogical, facts into this smallpox thing. The president took his shot on the 13th, as well as did the first 5,000 military recruits. And on the 15th, the Star Tribune, StarTribune.com ran this article, headline Washington, D.C., and it says, quote, administration officials made clear that there are no compelling reasons now to undertake a mass immunization campaign. Iraq is suspected of having laboratory samples of the smallpox virus, but most analysts do not believe it has incorporated the virus into a weapon. So then a little bit later on, it says here, only the United States and Russia possess samples of the deadly virus, unquote. So Iraq is not capable, and neither is Al-Qaeda, according to this article in another paragraph. These two major groups are not capable of unleashing a weaponized smallpox attack on us, and so it becomes even more illogical, doesn't it?
Well, it becomes illogical unless there's another agenda. Do they want to see how gullible the American people are? Almost 50% of them are ready to take the smallpox vaccine, but that's encouraging. 50% either haven't made up their mind or say they don't want the vaccine. So it means that the truth is getting out, and that is that vaccines are very dangerous. They produce autism. They certainly have produced a mercury intoxication. And if they haven't, why did somebody sneak something into the Homeland Security bill so that Eli Lilly could never be sued for the mercury that they put in the vaccine that was given to millions and millions of children? Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, and let me just tell you a little bit about one of the products that is helping to support us.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamex. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
All right, and this is Dr. Stan, and let me just suggest that if you have not already made your preparations, in case there is some sort of a cataclysmic event.
Well, this is Dr. Stan.
Well, and I just certainly want to suggest that you seriously consider calling Ready Reserve Foods. And Ready Reserve Food, of course, will offer you a list of things that you should do to prepare for difficult times. Of course, they want to sell you their products. We think they're good products, so we wouldn't even mention them here. But let me suggest their telephone number, 800-453-2202. They'll send you a copy of their list, their catalog. But give them a call at 800-453-2202. Get their checklist of the things that everybody should have on hand in case the unthinkable should happen here in the United States. And just ask yourself, why is the administration so intent upon taking us into a war with Iraq? Why are they pushing, and why do they seem to want to go to war immediately? Is there a timetable? And if there's a timetable, what's the timetable before? Well, of course, we're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, but in the meantime, let me tell you about another product we have.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest today, of course, is David Bay from the Cutting Edge Ministries, and we were just talking about the fact that they vaccinated our troops for anthrax, despite the fact that, you know, they had terrible complications with this. A certain number of them have died. And yet, of course, where is the anthrax going to come from? And how do we know the exact strain that's going to be used, unless, of course, we're planning on using the anthrax? And then who are we going to use that on? Now, it was very interesting. There was a recent survey that was done of Americans, and they asked them, you know, if Saddam Hussein used weapons of mass destruction, would you favor the preemptive use of nuclear weapons? And a majority of the American public said, oh, yeah, go ahead and nuke him. I wonder if they'd ask that a question a little different way. How many of you would favor a preemptive use of nuclear weapons in Iraq if you knew that there might be retaliation with the nuclear weapons in the United States? After all, you know, if we're willing to use nuclear weapons and kill Iraqi civilians with them, why should we feel any moral, there'd be anything morally wrong if somebody else were to do that to us? But they don't ask the question that way. War is hell. War is the worst thing possible. And, you know, the tragedy is the only people who are out demonstrating against it are the radical left and the communists. And there are a few people, conservatives, but so many people are simply blindly following the administration. Oh, we got to go to war. We got to go to war. Why do we have to go to war? What's so urgent about it? You're worried about weapons of mass destruction. What about North Korea? What about Pakistan? What about India? What about Iran, which has all three of them weapons of mass destruction?
What about Saudi Arabia?
Right, of course.
Saudi Arabia's got not only Pakistani warheads that they bought from that program, but they've got Chinese missiles, you know, to deliver them. Saudi Arabia is probably the most dangerous country in the Middle East, and yet nobody's talking about it.
Now, well, I tell you what, we're not being told the truth, and it's about time the American people understand we're being manipulated on this whole thing of the smallpox. We're being constantly manipulated, and the government is consistently lying to us, and they're planting these articles in the media.
Well, you know, the 9/11 attacks had the Illuminati occult signature all over it. This looked for all the world like the invented artificial threat that they were planning since 1917, and they used that event plus months and months and months of totally fake bogus warnings that none of which ever occurred. They used this constant threat on the heels of 9/11 to push forward bills that are so draconian in nature that if they're ever enacted, will be a police state within hours.
But David, they have been enacted. They have just not been fully enforced.
Well, enforced, yes.
But I think
right.
that the American
enforced.
People have to understand they are using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom.
Now,
and where was the outcry?
I think that the threat of smallpox may be the plan here, instead of having a massive attack which would kill thousands, I think maybe a very well manipulated media scare might be in plan. Listen to this. I said, I found this article, and I had put it on the Daily News Updates at Cutting Edge about a month and a half ago, and I said, it said here. And it was in the Washington Post in an article on September 23rd, And the article was entitled "Smallpox Vaccine Guidelines Readied," and the emergency plan to cover all of the United States. And then it says here, federal health officials will issue detailed guidelines today for vaccinating the entire U.S. population against smallpox within 5 days of an outbreak of the dreaded disease. Intended as a blueprint for state and local health officials nationwide, the unprecedented move reveals a growing belief within the Bush administration that even one case of smallpox anywhere in the Western Hemisphere would signify a terrorist assault and should therefore trigger a more massive response than officials had previously suggested.
And, of course, you know...
One case.
Well, of course, basically, they convened a group of experts in Atlanta, Georgia, at the CDC, and their feeling was there was no justification, absolutely no justification for mass smallpox vaccination. If there were outbreaks of smallpox, there should be ring vaccination,
right,
but do not use it generally. And so why do they bother to get the experts together when George Bush and the people who control him have already decided that they're going to force us to be vaccinated? And we have to understand that they are using, in many instances, an experimental vaccine. You're going to be asked or told you will have to sign a waiver saying you won't sue anybody. They've already put the legislation in that if you are forcibly vaccinated, you can't sue the doctor, you can't sue the vaccine manufacturer, and try to sue the government. Just go ahead and try, because the Supreme Court has held that even if what the government does is wrong, if they thought it was right, you have no basis for a suit. And if there's no problem, why have they included that in the law? If there's no problem, if they don't think there's going to be a problem, why are they protecting the vaccine manufacturers before there's been any cases?
Another thing that was that a supposed outbreak of smallpox would allow the government to do is impose martial law. And back in late October of last year, of 2001, which was about 6 or 7 weeks after the 9/11 attacks, the government put together a health guidelines which it tried to get all the 50 states to pass it, and I'm not sure what the number is, but I think it's somewhere around 30-35 have passed it. But this plan would allow the quarantining of entire cities and even the herding of people into outdoor stadiums to be vaccinated.
Or if you weren't vaccinated, they would simply put you in a concentration camp. That is the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act.
Right.
And
that,
of course,
that's the name of it. Yep.
That's covered in my newsletters, and any of you who don't get my newsletters, go up on the website and you'll find a whole series of them covering these specific issues and specifically covering the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act.
So the corollary effect that they may be wanting in this manufactured smallpox scare is the ability to impose a martial law, and of course there's also a back, if you're going to use smallpox to quarantine and impose martial law on the cities, what do you do for the countryside? And it's interesting that that 2.5 weeks after the 9/11 attacks, the agricultural secretary issued a state of national emergency among the livestock in the area. The livestock industry in the United States for the possible threat of mad cow disease passing, from the elk and deer population, into our domestic herds. And even though she admitted that there's no scientific evidence that this is possible, still just the threat that something's possible made her issue that national emergency, and that declaration is still in effect.
Well, the most amazing thing is, David, that they do all of these things without any scientific basis. And
right.
They have been poisoning the American people with water fluoridation. If you want an excellent coverage of that, we have a new book. It's called A Health Secrets, A Nutrition and Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life. It gives you all the scientific studies that you'll never get any other place, and you can actually get those from any medical library. And they know that it damages the brains of children and of unborn infants, and yet they're using toxic doses of fluoride in our water. The doctors don't know, the dentists don't know, because they control what they learn and they back these things. If they would do that, why should we be surprised if they would create a phony smallpox scare and then use it perhaps to vaccinate us and or give us other vaccinations that could be harmful? We know that many of the vaccines, the swine flu vaccine, that they gave the people, they knew that there was no swine flu epidemic back in the 80s, and they gave it anyway, and people started dying of Guillain-Barré disease.
In fact, my daughter is a registered nurse, and she told me at that time that nurses and doctors where she, you know, in the hospital she worked in the Boston area, called that flu vaccine the old people killers.
And that's right.
Because old people were just dying from this thing. They get this flu, they'd be in good health, they get this flu, and they'd die within days.
And, of course, we know that they've been giving vaccines. They know that we gave the polio vaccine, and they knew there was a cancer virus in it, and they gave it anyway, and people are dying of mesothelioma now 20, 30, 40 years later. They knew, of course, there were problems with the hepatitis B vaccine. They knew there was mercury in it, and it was toxic to the children's brains, and they would still be giving it today if there hadn't been such an outcry. And people have to understand there are wicked and evil people, and many of them are working in the highest levels of government today.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the major common themes that I run through many New Age authors' books is that the world is overpopulated by 2/3. We have 6 billion people on an earth that can only support 2 billion.
Well, we're going to have to interrupt you there, but as long as you're talking about it, let me simply suggest if you're out there in the listening audience, you need to get our 4-tape set on population control. Or you need, of course, to get our Population Control Special, which has books and videos and of course, had my monograph on the Population Control Agenda. The Population Control 4-tape set, or the special, which includes a video, a 4-tape set, and other material, is must to really understand what's going on today. We're involved in a battle against organized evil. And if you don't think there's a satanic conspiracy out there, you explain to me why it was that nothing was done to stop the attack on the World Trade Center, and yet within 2 hours of the attack, why the FBI was at the homes, the restaurants, at the flight schools, where the hijackers trained. How could they know within 2 hours? If you doubt that, of course, call and get a copy of our October newsletter, Kristen Breitweiser's Suppressed Testimony Before the Senate Intelligence Committee on the 18th of September this year. That's the October newsletter. We've simply included her testimony. You have to be very evil to do absolutely nothing when you know there's going to be an attack. Why does the president not want to have an investigation? Why does he insist that he picks the chairman? Because FBI agents went to David Shippers and to our friend Garth Nicholson and told them the attack was coming, even the date of it and where it was going to be. At least they told Garth Nicholson it was going to be on the Pentagon on the 11th of September. They told David Shippers it was going to be on Lower Manhattan in early September. And they don't want those men called. They don't want those FBI agents called because the government said, we had no idea. Organized evil, and you must understand it. Call 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get my video, 911 Contrived. Get the book, War on Freedom, but call right now.
A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine. The fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and if you think this is foolish talk, let me suggest that you get the UNESCO Courier. That's the UNESCO Courier, November of 1991, where Jacques Cousteau says, you remember Jacques Cousteau, who swims with of course, the dolphins and the whales and the fishies, and he said, you know, that just too many people in the world, we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. We're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. Go to your library and get a copy. If you can't, we'll be glad to send you that page from the UNESCO Courier. You can read it yourself. But, you know, the most amazing thing is, David, we've made that offer so many times, almost nobody ever calls because they don't want to know the truth. It is so horrible to contemplate. And yet, if we don't face it, why the life that may be lost, maybe that of one of our loved ones or even ourselves?
Well, I'll tell you, there is a silver cloud or a silver lining to this cloud, and you know, for the born again Christian, because almost all of these plans we're talking about fulfill Bible prophecy. I mean, even the, you know, the 2/3 reduction in, you know, that human population that's planned as we entered this new world order. If you were to add up all of the judgments in the book of Revelation from chapter 6 through 16, you will discover that God's judgments kill 2/3 of mankind. And so here it is. Where else would they have come up with the exact figure the Bible foretells? And most of the other things that they're talking about are fulfilled in Bible prophecy. The fourth seal of Revelation 6, one-fourth of the world's population die from war, from deadly pestilence and famine. And so this talk of biological weapons of mass destruction seems to fit right in with that fourth seal.
In fact, if you, for our listeners out there, if you haven't ever seen the writings of Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the most wealthy women in the world, she ran for the Democratic position of vice president in 1984 against Geraldine Ferraro. But here is a woman, of course, a consultant to our government. Her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, was published by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. But we have the original manuscript, and in that, she refers to Revelation 6:8 and talks about, you know, about all these people are going to die. And she quotes Revelation 6:8, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed shortly thereafter, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world. And then she goes on to talk about how they were going to have to kill a quarter of the population of the world, that group that would not evolve to a higher skill. And then she said, but that's not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. If you want to get this documentation, we'll send you those pages from her original manuscript, which she distributed across the United States. We are the riders of the pale horse death. She is a dedicated occultist. Her book was channeled to her by a demonic spirit. But, of course, people don't like to believe that sort of thing. They want to, of course, believe everything is warm and fuzzy, nothing to worry about. But, of course, we are called to occupy the earth until the Lord comes. And if everything is in the Lord's hands, he's doing a terrible job. I believe he's left things in our hands until he does come back. He does interfere in the affairs of men. And I imagine that he is furious with the Christians in America and the Christian church today.
Well, in his omniscience, I think he prophesied that the church at the end of the age would be the Laodicean church, which would be a rich church and a proud and arrogant church, but absolutely stone cold dead.
Right, neither hot nor cold.
Pardon?
Neither hot nor cold.
Neither hot nor cold. He would spew them out of the mouth, and that it would. And the Apostle Paul amplified on that, and he said that this church would go into great apostasy, and the word apostasy means to abandon previously held positions. And since 1948, when the World and National Council of Churches was brought into being, the Christian Church has gone into deep apostasy, and so the Lord knew, and the Lord foretold that all this would happen. In fact, we make a large point of the fact that in Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, reveal that Antichrist would like to arise at any point in time, at any point along the last 2,000 years, but he's being restrained by the Holy Spirit. And it says, and then Paul said something very interesting. He said that Antichrist cannot arise until the apostasy occurs first. So what this literally means is that every time a liberal churchman leads his flock or his denomination a little, away from another doctrine, he is literally opening the door for Antichrist. Literally opening the door so he can come in. And that's where we stand today. And like you said, we are called to occupy till the Lord comes, use our knowledge of what's coming to save souls. And because if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a lot to be worried about.
Amen to that. Well, and that, of course, is one reason why we do what we do today. Hopefully that the Christians out there will understand what's going on and become involved, and those who are not Christians will realize that if what we say is true, they better come to know the Lord, and there is no time to tarry.
One other thing that I meant to mention, we were talking about how illogical things are. The Jerusalem Post yesterday said that relatively few problems had surfaced in the initial inoculation, smallpox inoculation of emergency workers, and frontline medical people. So they were going ahead with plans to inoculate the entire population. Now here Israel is facing Iraq. She's getting ready for Iraq. And yet we know from what we just read, from these articles we just read, that Iraq does not possess weaponized smallpox. So what is Israel doing inoculating her entire population?
Well, I think that there is an awful lot of people are going to get sick and an awful lot of people are going to die. And it's not simply from the vaccination itself and the impact on the individual. We are giving them a live virus. But it's because, first of all, a quarter of the population can't take the vaccine if they have eczema, if they have any sort of immune compromise, they have AIDS, or they are taking any medicines, or they have a chronic disease, or they're, that has suppressed their immune system, or if they're children, they should not be vaccinated. So at least a quarter of the population should not, under any circumstances, be vaccinated. I believe older people still have an element of immunity, from their previous vaccinations. How much we certainly don't know, but of course they would have some immunity. And then, of course, if you have the vaccination, then you begin shedding the virus and you come in contact with other people with an altered immune system. You're working in the hospital, and of course some of the virus that gets off of you onto one of your patients, and they come down with a disease and horrible complications because we have so many people with altered immune systems in the hospital. Well, they've already said, there's no way that they will have any recourse to a lawsuit. It's not anybody's fault. They've already built into the law, you can't sue the doctors, you can't sue the vaccine manufacturers, you can't sue the government, because if they thought what they were doing was all right, it's all right. If they're not expecting any complications, why did they build that into the Homeland Security law?
Exactly. They are, of course, they're expecting complications. They're counting on complications.
Right.
That's what the whole plan is. One other thing was interesting about this matter is I got an email from a subscriber in Austin, Texas, and she was listening to talk radio. I guess it was a drive time coming home from work last week, and this doctor was saying that what nobody is talking about is that if we have mass inoculations of people, for smallpox, that we are automatically creating a shortage of blood in this country, because no person who has this smallpox vaccination, can then turn around and give blood.
Well, now, are you sure? I don't believe that is true. I mean, I've had smallpox vaccination, and I can give blood.
Is that right?
Sure. I mean, okay. Most people have had smallpox vaccination. It's only during the acute stage when you have the active viremia that you couldn't. But certainly, after a certain period of time, you could. So I don't believe everything I hear on talk radio.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, but it makes sense to me that at least for a period of time, you wouldn't be able to give you would not be able to give blood.
Well, let me run another thing by you. See, if you have people who have vaccinia, this is an infection, and we're giving it to people, and there are terrible complications from it. You treat that with antibodies. A shot of the antibodies against the vaccinia. Now, there's only 600 doses of that in the entire country, and the only way we're going to be able to get more of that is to inoculate a lot of our military and inoculate our healthcare personnel, and then they can bleed them, and they can get this immune globulin that will help people if they do get the complications. I think that's one reason why they're doing what they're doing now, but they're not going to talk to how many out there really want to get vaccinated so they can take your blood so they can use it on other people, maybe on government officials when they get ill. Hey, we've got John right now calling in. Hi, John, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Alabama.
Okay, John from Alabama, good to have you with us.
Okay, you said you had some kind of information on the population thing. I think you said Riders of a Pale Horse.
Well, basically, I referred to a book that was written. It was channeled to a woman named Barbara Marks Hubbard. And this was the original manuscript. She traveled across the country, and she put it out. She admitted it had been channeled to her by the Christ Spirit. And she rewrote the book of Revelation. They had rewritten the book of Revelation, and in that, one of the phrases she talks about, she quotes Revelation 6:8, as I quoted earlier, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death. And then she goes on and says, a quarter of the world population is going to have to be killed, which is what it says in Revelation 6:8. And then she goes on to say, that is not your job, that is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse death. And if you want a copy of that, you call us at 1-800-544-8927.
8927.
And that is Barbara Marks Hubbard, just Barbara Marks Hubbard.
1-800-544-8927.
Okay. And you might even want to get that material from Jacques Cousteau, and then you might
that
want to let other people understand that there is a genocidal agenda out there.
What did I write in?
Barbara Marks Hubbard and Jacques Cousteau.
Okay, I appreciate that.
God bless you. And then you help us to get it out now. We give it to you, but we want you to get it to others. Okay, God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, and I think there are people out there, hopefully, that begin to understand that we're talking about their lives and the lives of their loved ones, David.
Absolutely. I mean, once this planned panic and planned world war kicks into high gear, you're going to have a lot of people die from a lot of different things very quickly.
And whether they're Iraqis or Americans, we ought to be concerned about any loss of human life.
We're
going to have to interrupt you. We're going to take a quick break here. And this is the time when we have to tell our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day, reaching out across America, reaching out across the world on almost 50 stations now. But, of course, quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. More. And you can, when you join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do and what I think we do best, and that is talking on the radio. And of course, if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, we'll be glad to send you a trial copy. You don't have to subscribe. We hope after you've read it, you will. We'll be glad to send you a copy of our November newsletter free of charge. If you haven't had one before, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Go up on our website, and you'll find our newsletters there, and you can pull them down. You can copy them. You can distribute them. Help us to get them out. You can buy, actually, bound copies of the newsletter. I think they're $19 a year, $19.95 for a full year, and the year 2000, 2001, 2002, will be bound very, very soon. Get this information. And they're bound in such a way you can take them out and copy them, and you can help us by getting this into other people's hands. Get them to read it, and, of course, copy any of our programs off the air or off the Internet site and distribute those. A audio tape sometimes is the best weapon in the world. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, our guest this afternoon is David Bay. David, why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with your ministry?
The website is www.cuttingedge.org, and my email address is dbay@cuttingedge.org. And our phone number is 1-800-451-8211.
Now, first of all, give it once more very, very slowly.
www.cuttingedge.org.
Okay, fine.
And then the email address is dbay, that's David Bay, @cuttingedge.org.
All right, fine.
And the phone number is 1-800-451-8211.
All right, fine. Let's go to Lorraine calling. Hi, Lorraine. Is this Lorraine from Southern California?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I heard you talking about channeling, and I had a question about that. Is that when you use a deceased soul to communicate to somebody else?
No, that's
kind of like telepathy or something.
Well, why don't you take that, David? What is channeling?
Channeling is where a person who is practicing the occult their entire bodily and mentally functions are taken over by a demonic entity. And that entity then channels information through them. And that can be verbal communication where the person, you know, is speaking, and they usually speak in a different voice than their normal voice. Or it can be writing. And when it's writing, it's called automatic writing.
But they can also mimic the dead too, right?
Well, they try to mimic the dead, but they're not really dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. But the demons will pretend that they're a dead relative.
Right.
Okay.
All
that's
pretend, because the Bible says that when a person dies, their soul goes back to God who gave it. And so there's no coming back from the dead. All of this is, you know, is demonic deception.
Well, wasn't there a story in the Old Testament, and I want to say Saul or somebody? No, I can't remember the name.
Yes, King Saul went to a witch, the Witch of Endor, and he wanted her to bring back the prophet Samuel from the dead because he wanted to talk to him, and Samuel thought it was Samuel. However, if you read the text carefully, you will see that is an assumption by Paul. The witch never says that. The witch just says, "I see an old man in a robe."
Okay.
Saul assumed it was Samuel, began talking to him, and the entity responded back as if he were Samuel.
Okay.
But there is no instance, that is the only instance that in a careful reading makes you understand that Samuel really did not come back from the dead. That was just King Saul's assumption.
Okay.
But, of course, this is what they want you to believe. And many people are attracted to seances because they want to contact a loved one. Well, of course, the only way you're going to contact a loved one is to go to heaven with them.
I see.
Okay.
Do I have time for just a quick question on the smallpox vaccine?
Sure.
Okay, I heard that if you come down with smallpox, you could get the vaccine and that you could possibly get, possibly get healed from that. Is that true?
Once you have smallpox, the vaccination would not help you.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You've got 4 or 5 days from your contact with the virus, because it takes 7 to 14 days before you come down with it. And so, I think about 14 days for a virus. So, if you are vaccinated within 3 or 4 days, of course, you're probably not going to come down with it. You may come down with vaccinia, but you won't come down with smallpox.
I see.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, David, why don't you go ahead?
Well, you talked about Barbara Marx Hubbard saying that we are the
writers.
We are the ones who are going to cause this.
We are the riders of the pale horse death. When I read that, it sent chills down my spine.
Are going to cause the
death.
The death of 25% of all the people on the earth. Hubbard is part of a black magic occult group of conspirators. And what people do not realize is that our current president, George Bush, is a skull and bones the skull and bones man, and skull and bones is just as black magic and just as virulent and shares the same goals as does Barbara Marx Hubbard.
Well, it's very strange. I mean, the president says he's a born-again Christian, but one of the first things he did when he got into the White House was to invite all of the skull and bones friends of his to the White House to celebrate with him.
Well,
disconcerting. You know, I would think that he would have renounced his relationship to this occult pagan organization.
Well, if he was given that chance in an interview in August of 2000 during the campaign. He was interviewed by TimeCNN.com, and we have this document. We saved it, and he was given a chance to repudiate it, and he did not. He made light of it. Well, a true born again believer who is controlled by the Holy Spirit and very sorrowful for their past sin would take that opportunity to repudiate it, and he did not. But he's taken several of them into his cabinet. He's got CFR men throughout his cabinet.
I don't think people have to understand the CFRs originated with the occult, with a secret society, an occult society created by Cecil Rhodes, and that's all covered in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness.
Yeah, that's an excellent book, by the way, The Brotherhood of Darkness. The video is excellent too.
Well, thank you.
And we carry them both in Cutting Edge. but people just do not understand that George Bush is not who he claims to be, and all of these questions as to why he's doing this with Iraq, why he's doing this with North Korea, why he's doing this with smallpox, none of it makes any sense. It begins to make some sense when you realize that he's standing with Barbara Marx Hubbard as a rider of the pale horse too.
Well, I don't know about that, but let me ask you a question, David. One of the things that really disturbs me is why the urgency to get us into this war. I mean, you know, anybody out there with two Beth cells knows that it really doesn't matter whether we find weapons of mass destruction or not. We're going to war with Iraq. So why the urgency to do this right now? I mean, certainly if we want to get somebody that has nuclear weapons, Iran would be a far better country to go after.
Why?
And really, Iran has been working with Osama bin Laden and financed him. And if you don't believe that, the book, Bin Laden, The Man Who Declared War Against America, written by Joseph Badansky, who's director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare, and his later book, The High Cost of Peace, no question Iran financed so much of the Islamic terrorist movement. So why are we going to go to war with Iraq right now, and why is it so urgent? Do you have any ideas on that?
I do. And you go back to your understanding of Bible prophecy. I believe that they're marching on a very strict timetable.
You mean you think this is all scripted?
It's absolutely scripted. We just put up an article on our headline news article where Deb Kefile which is, you know, which I believe is Mossad.
It is, right.
They put up a caricature of a dialogue back and forth over a period of a couple of weeks here in December between Secretary of State Powell and UN Weapons Secretary, I mean UN Weapons Inspector Blix. And Powell is informing Blix what he will find, what he will report, what he will not say, when he's going to go to the in front of the UN, and in one of the exchanges, Powell jumps all over Blix because he messed the scenario up, he messed the script up the day before and said the wrong things. It is totally scripted.
Well,
and Revelation 17:17 says that it will be scripted. God says that the final 10 kings of the end of the age, and America is one of the 10 kings, as part of NAFTA, they will act in harmony, and according to a plan to produce, to pass their power to Antichrist. So it's totally within, or it's exactly what the Bible said would happen at this time. They're acting according to a script, a plan.
Well, but what was it said? Back of all that foes have plotted, back of all that saints have planned, back of the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. And I believe that's true. I believe Lucifer has a script. I believe God has a script. I don't think Lucifer knows God's script. And that's what makes this whole thing unfolding so fascinating. And we have an opportunity, of course, to try to make people aware of what's going on.
Well, I think this whole thing is coming down according to a very strict timetable. It's set in the in the numbers of the occult, which is and you can see these numbers. We started this vaccination program on Friday the 13th.
The significance of Friday the 13th, of course.
Huh?
You know the significance of Friday the 13th.
Yes, that was the day that Jacques de Molay was taken down in 1306.
Right, and October 13th, 1307. Right.
1307.
Right.
And it's been a favorite occult day of curse ever since then.
Right, and the average American has no idea how, of course, all these occult dates. I mean, why did we pick Earth Day the day we did? Because it's Lenin's birthday, and he was a Satanist.
Right.
Earth Day is Lenin's birthday. We celebrate it in all of our schools, and person is too dumb to realize. Hey, we're out of time. What are your parting thoughts, David? We'll get you on real soon because we didn't even get to the second subject, the main subject of this afternoon.
I know. Well, my parting thought is that is a reiteration of what I said earlier. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you should be shaking in your boots because it looks for all the world like the final push to produce the World War III and all the panics that will produce Antichrist is well underway.
Well, I hate to agree with you, but you're absolutely right. I don't like to think about it, but I've been following this for 40 years. I think you're right on. Well, God bless you, David. We'll get you back again. And our guest has been David Bay from Cutting Edge Ministries, cuttingedge.org. Be sure to go to his website, get his information. And we'll get you on real soon again.
Okay, thanks very much.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Well, you may not enjoy it, but I hope it will help you to begin understanding what's really important in this day and age. And, of course, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and that of your families is what this is really all about. And, of course, contrary to everything you see on television, the reason for this Christmas season is Jesus Christ, and that's why, of course, they never talk about him. And why we talk about all the other sorts of things, or if we do have any documentaries on, why it sort of do undermine the faith of Christians and certainly to turn people who are not Christians away from the real answer to our problems today, which is our Lord. Well, we're out of time, so let me just say goodbye and may the Lord be with you. Please pray for Radio Liberty and pray for our ministry, pray for our provision and protection. We will be doing a program tomorrow afternoon and then not on Christmas itself. We're going to take that day off. So until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
And your guys' Christmas presents are on back.
Oh, well.
Oh, no. This has,
I feel bad.